Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
I feel like I'm inside Bramall Lane. I can feel the energy. I can feel the fans. Unbelievable stuff. The studio is rumbling right now. And they've gone. They've gone. Just like that, at the click of a finger, they have gone. It is the Sheffield United fan show here on Love Sport. And me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. For the next half an hour, we're going to be talking all things the Blades. And a 10th Premier League victory today for Chris Wilder's men, coming from behind to beat AFC Bournemouth on their own patch at Bramall Lane. They're wonderful scenes for the Blades, and 39 points in the bag as well. That is one more than the entire campaign the last time they were in the Premier League in 2006-07. We had Dave Bassett on the final whistle earlier on today, myself and Miles Blumsen, and we put it to him, of course, that points tally is very good. He holds the record as Sheffield United manager in the top flight, 92-94, 52 points and 42 points respectively. However, those were the days when 42 games were played in the Premier League. Of course, there were two extra teams. So quite the achievement from Chris Wilder and the boys so far this season. We're going to be getting into all of that and more on this, the Sheffield United fan show. Delighted to say I am joined, as ever, by James Shield of the Sheffield Express and Star. Hello, James.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. Great to have you on the line. We are also joined by the Travelling Blade. Hello, buddy.
Hi, mate. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Great to have you both on. James, I'm going to start with your fine self, because you were there today witnessing another victory for Sheffield United. We say it every single week, mate. It keeps getting better and better and better.
It does. It keeps getting better and better and better. And, you know, I think we should stop getting more and more surprised, because, you know, any team that the table doesn't lie at this stage of the season. And, you know, you hear lots of sort of theories that Sheffield United will crumble as the season goes on. You hear lots of sort of, you know, people talking about the conventional wisdom that teams who have only just come up from the Championship won't be able to maintain a challenge. I tell you what, the people that I actually prefer to listen to are the other opposition managers, people like Frank Lampard at Chelsea, who's sort of, you know, Sheffield United are breathing down his squad's necks now. You listen to Eddie Howe after the game today, talking about how he believes Sheffield United can actually maintain a challenge for Europe. And, you know, the longer it goes on, the more you've got to take that seriously, as remarkable and as ridiculous as it probably sounds.
I don't know, mate. I don't know if it is remarkable and ridiculous anymore. That's it, isn't it? It's like we've got to stop being so surprised by this. I mean, it was such a performance today. And I actually don't know the answer to this one, James, and I'm slapping my wrist right now. But Sheffield United came from behind today. How many times, if any, have they done that this season in order to earn 3 points, not just a draw?
Do you know what? You've absolutely got me there. I'm terrible with statistics, Matt. Absolutely terrible with stuff like that. So I'm going to be scrolling through the computer, unless Travelling Blade knows, as we talk about this. Yeah.
I mean, I was sat there during the game, I think after Lundstrom had scored our second, and I'm thinking, I was trying to think of it myself, like, is that the first time we've come from behind to win? I remember, like, it felt like a win, but it wasn't away at Chelsea. I think we've definitely come behind to draw on more than one occasion, but to come from behind to win, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Do you know what as well, though? In a strange sort of way, that just goes to show how well Sheffield United are doing this season, because, you know, there's not been too many times when they've had to really pull a game out of the bag. And, you know, this isn't a team that we're talking about here who's fighting against relegation. This is a team that now has got to be taken seriously, as we said, as not just sort of Europa League contenders, but when I say it sounds faintly ridiculous, you know, they are in the conversation now, make no mistake about that, for a Champions League place. And even if that proves a little stretch too far, you know, the fact that none of us can actually remember, and I'm sure there'll probably be a listener out there who can, but the last time they came behind to take 3 points goes to show that in the majority, the overwhelming majority of the Premier League sort of games that they've been playing, they've been a dominant, if not equal, forcing.
I think it's massive, isn't it? Travelling Blade, this is a huge thing, because what it is, essentially, if we are led to believe it's the first time this season, it's another milestone. It's another achievement from Chris Wilder's men.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few times where I remember at the start of the season and I was thinking we might be one of those teams where maybe sort of like what Arsenal are now, where they've had a lot, if not too many draws. But I thought if we're going to have to rely on scrapping for those points to keep us up, then let it happen. But we've actually transcended that and gone far beyond that, where now, when today, I think if today would have ended 1-1, I wouldn't have been that disappointed because of how fragile we were made to look by Bournemouth in the first half an hour. I don't want one of those fans that says, oh, we had an off day, because the amount of times I've seen that used against us when we've drawn or beaten a team this season, it's so infuriating. And no one has an off day, they're just made to look bad by the opposition. So a draw, I wouldn't have been that disappointed with a draw today. But the thing is, we're not, like I said, we're not just scrapping for draws now. I mean, like, it sounds like a cliche, but a lot of managers say it. But when Chris Wilder says it, you know he actually literally means it when he says, I want to go out and win every game, whether that's Liverpool away, Man City away, or Millwall away in the FA Cup the other week. He wants to win every single game. And there's often sometimes where he has to sit back and take and be accepting of a draw. Maybe such as Arsenal away, where we didn't play that well and managed to get a point. Whereas a lot of times where we do draw and he's not impressed, even if it's like against a fantastic team. And I'm quite surprised, you know, the fact that I don't want to say complacent, but we've got a level of confidence and a level of justified confidence about us now where we can be demanding of wins and we can be disappointed with draws. Even if the game reflects a draw, we can think, oh, maybe we should have done better against them. We can go into games now expecting to win, sort of towards the end of the Championship last season.
I think...
Sorry, go on, Matt.
No, James, please, go on, crack on.
I was just going to say, I think for me as well, one of the key things today, though, that really sort of pleased me, and I think should really encourage every sort of Sheffield United fan going forward, though, is the fact that, as Travelling Blade said there, yes, there were times when they really had to dig in that game, and I do think Bournemouth, you know, and we'll maybe get into this later with one of the ways they approached the game, which, you know, had me sort of cringing in embarrassment up in the press box at times. But, you know, the way they approached the game, I think they missed a trick, because I think they took their eye off the ball. And that game was there for them to really take by the scruff of the neck in the first half. And I think they just concentrated on the theatrics a little bit more than they should have done the football. That is a damn good Bournemouth side, you know. Irrespective of where they are in the table, you know, I think their league position goes to show what a big thing confidence is in football, rather than sort of the calibre of a player, because there's some really, really top draw players in that Bournemouth side. But what I think really encouraged me is that, as we've said, Sheffield United have gone beyond the stage now where they have to sort of, you know, really grind out games and they have to rely on sort of their character and their durability. But I tell you what, at this stage of the season, squeaky bum, Sir Alex Ferguson famously called it, that is a really, really good quality to have. And they showed that they've not forgotten how to do that today. And, you know, as the prize gets bigger, they will have to do that. I mean, you know, lots of people point the finger at a team like Arsenal, don't they, and say that they've got all the talent in the world, but a little bit of a soft centre. Well, I think you can see Sheffield United have an awful lot of talent at their disposal, but one thing they certainly don't have is a soft centre.
I think as well, you look at the managerial swagger as well from Chris Wilder and the changes that he made today. You mentioned John Lundstrom at the top of the show, gents. I mean, he's brought on Lundstrom. He's brought on Lys Mousset as well. I have to say, quite an erratic performance from Lys Mousset today. He'd got 4-6 prior to going 12 games now, it is, without a goal. But this isn't a striker low on confidence because he's come on, he's been booked, he's skied one over his own bar and forced a corner near towards the end of the game, but he's ended up with an assist, his fourth assist of the season for John Lundstrom. And the finish, by the way, we were talking about this earlier on the show, an absolutely brilliant bit of skill, James, because that is one touch and a finish all in one fell swoop. But he's been clever here, Chris Wilder, especially in the case of Lundstrom with Sander Berger as well. The past two games, Berger's started, Lundstrom's come on around the same time between 60 and 70 minutes, and he's basically gone, go on then, show me what you're made of.
Yeah, absolutely. And we spoke to Chris afterwards and sort of I sort of questioned him on this. And it was interesting that, you know, the two players, or possibly the three, that he wanted to speak about the most were players who have sort of seen their place or places in the side come under threat, really, with the new arrivals. And, you know, John Lundstrom is quite clearly one of those who I thought had looked a little bit tired, actually, in January, but certainly hadn't done anything to sort of warrant being dropped. And let's be right, that's what has happened. You know, Sander Berger has come in and taken his place. But the response that players like that have shown to sort of be ready to overcome challenges rather than sort of sulk and sort of moan and roll their eyes when things don't go their way. And you touched on Lys Mousset there as well. And I think, you know, earlier in the season, when Chris was sort of being questioned on the personality of his squad and the sort of the characters within it, he made a really interesting point. And that was, he said, the players in the, you know, who were in the starting 11 regularly, he said, I actually spend very little time with them. I don't have to manage them. He said, the ones throughout my managerial career that I've always focused on more are the ones who aren't in the team. And he said, you know, making sure that they're ready, making sure that they feel wanted and that they're part of a group. And I think today, and actually last week as well, when John Lundstrom came on and I thought was, you know, superb, you've seen the benefits and you've seen Chris Wilder getting the rewards of that, because lots of managers sort of speak about, you know, it's all about the group. And sometimes you get the impression that the players who aren't actually in that group of 11, as it were, don't really feel that. What you're seeing at Sheffield United now is it actually is all about the group, and the players who are in that group feel as if they're a part of something.
They do indeed. That was James Shield there from the Sheffield Express and Star. We've got the Travelling Blade on the line too on this, the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
Sheffield United Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by James Shield of the Sheffield Express and Star. Travelling Blade is on the line with us too. Mr. Blade, I'm going to come to you now because we're reflecting on that victory over AFC Bournemouth today. And I just want to touch on minutes played by Premier League players so far this season. Now, by my records, there are six players who have played every single minute of every single Premier League game thus far.
Just me.
Ben Foster, Jordan Pickford and Matt Ryan are three of them. Now, three of those are goalkeepers. The other three are Sheffield United players. Ender Stevens, George Baldock and Jack O'Connell. That is quite an incredible statistic.
Yeah. Did Henderson not get in on that? Did he miss a bit?
Yes, because he didn't play against United, did he? Si Moore came in.
Oh, of course, yes. Forgetting. Yes, of course. Yeah.
So incredible, incredible scenes that you've got those three players there. For the rest of the Premier League, you've got three other players who are goalkeepers, but that continuity that Chris Wilder has implemented is just, it's so to be admired.
I mean, it's quite ridiculous. It was Ender Stevens, Jack O'Connell and
George Baldock.
George Baldock. I mean, of those three, Jack O'Connell, I'm pretty sure, I might be wrong with this, He might have not started Chris Wilder's first league game in League One, but he is definitely part, even if he didn't start that game, he is definitely part of the core of players that Chris Wilder has taken from League One. Other players in there, Billy Sharp, Chris Basham, also in defence, and John Fleck in midfield, who's proven maybe, well, I mean, it's a hard contest, one of our players of the season. And I think it's just testament to the managerial skills of Chris Wilder and how he's got, essentially, he started off with this bunch of misfits, and a lot of them are still there. We're still taking on, I mean, maybe not so much now, but if you look, like, I mean, we've got Jack O'Connell, we signed from Brentford for maybe a couple of hundred thousand pounds. And a load of Brentford fans were saying, oh yeah, he's not that good. But, you know, it was always, you know, it was classed as like a Brentford reject in a way. The same was said of John Egan, and those two have been instrumental. I mean, like Jack O'Connell has been iconic ever since that first season with Wilder in League One. He became a fan favourite then, a cult hero. John Fleck, another one, he was released by Coventry. We got him for nothing. And now he's getting into like people's team of the weeks. He's one of the most instrumental midfielders, not just within Sheffield United, but within the Premier League, I think. I think he's, you know, he's one of the players of the season. Another one, David McGoldrick, who infamously hasn't scored yet this season. Had a bit of a foot injury, I believe, for the last few weeks. I think he was on the bench today, didn't feature. But even then, he was released by Ipswich, who last season got relegated. They released David McGoldrick. We took him on. I mean, I think he was quoted to have said, someone said, oh, if you didn't come to Sheffield United, where would you have gone? And he sort of joked, but I don't think half joking, oh, I'd have gone to the job centre. I think he scored about 15, 17 for us last season. And even though he's not scored for us this season, he's been instrumental on the pitch. You know, everything he's done, linking it together, absolutely fantastic up front. And I think like with the other players as well, I mean, Baldock and Stevens are two wing-backs, which for me are, you know, a good version of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson. You know, I wouldn't take those two over Baldock and Stevens. They've been absolutely incredible, turning fantastic performances out every single week, popping up with the odd goal here and there. And I mean, like today, I think George Baldock was absolutely fantastic. And I think the sort of this persona that some people have of him is sort of like a bit of a, you know, a bit of a pretty boy, a bit posh, and as if he's a bit soft, you know, especially when you compare him to our other players that are, you know, at Scouse, Irish, Glaswegian. You see this lad from Tottenham come from, you know, he's a bit of a good look and that. But, you know, he's shown over the last few weeks that he's got a bit of grit about him. And I think he was accused by the Times of institutionally bullying Wilfred Zaha last week. I mean, that's just called good defending. I mean, if they're thinking that of George Baldock, I'd love to see what they thought about Chris Morgan back in the day. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Like, he fractured someone's skull. So if they're calling George Baldock an institutional bully, goodness knows what they'd have said about Chris Morgan. But it's just, going back to Wilder, but he gets these players from nowhere, these hidden gems, and makes them into more than anyone could have believed, maybe even themselves could have believed. And you've got past teams like Brentford saying, oh, Egan and O'Connell wouldn't get into our side when we're, you know, fifth in the Premier League and they've been instrumental and two of our best players. And I think it's just proof to, some managers inherit good players and some managers create good players. And Wilder is one of those. He creates players out of nothing. I think you can't give the man a better compliment than that.
I just want to very quickly, before I come to you, James, I just want to make sure we all heard there, Travelling Blade, basically say that Andrew Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold are a poor man's version of Stevens and Baldock. We all heard that, right? We got that.
Yeah.
Lovely yep. stuff. I like that, mate. That is what we love these fan shows for. The bold claims made by our very fans on these fan shows. James, Billy Sharp was mentioned there by Travelling Blade. 229 goals now since the turn of the millennium. Two of those have been scored in the Premier League. Great to see him back on the score sheet today.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what? He warrants his place in the side because when he was given his chance after a long period on the bench, you know, I think Billy took it. I think he showed why he had sort of been a little bit frustrated at times not to play. And for me, you know, we, was Travelling Blade there was talking quite rightly about, you know, the fact that there's a lot of unheralded players at the football club, or previously unheralded players, because I think they're starting, you know, certainly starting to get the recognition they deserve now. And, you know, players who perhaps are overlooked by other clubs, it shows the benefit of two things, and Billy's a great example of this. One, you know, don't get too sort of swayed by reputations. Two, it goes to show the, you know, the benefits of a manager and a coaching staff. You've got to say that as well. And a head of recruitment, Paul Mitchell's got to be one of the most underrated men probably in the Premier League at present. You know, to be able to put together the and get that chemistry of a squad, White. It also goes to show, you know, and for the players have got to get credit for this as well, because they've taken on the challenge of stepping into the Premier League. Getting back to Billy, you know, he might not be the quickest anymore. You know, there might be lots of things that Billy Sharp can't do now at this stage of his career that other Premier League strikers can. And dare I say, other strikers at Sheffield United as well, because there's a lot of competition for places up there now. But I tell you what, for me, that lad is still, bar none, the best finisher at that football club. I think his track record over the past 3-4 seasons shows that. And if, you know, even when that time when he was on the bench, and I don't know what you think about this, Travelling Blade, but, you know, as well as the other strikers have done, there were times when you would see them miss chances and you'd be sat there thinking, do you know what, I wish Billy was on the pitch and it had fallen to him, because I still think he's the best finisher at that football club by a country mile.
I mean, I think there's been a lot of times where I've seen McGoldrick this season. I sang his praises, his work, you know, away from finishing. And you see he skew these chances and you're thinking, and even McBurney, and you're going, I wish Sharpen were on that. I think Moose has got a good finish on him, but can be a bit inconsistent. But I think Billy Sharp is one of the best poachers. I mean, like, Sharp, you know, he's not the tallest. Like I said, he's not the quickest. I think even in his prime, he wasn't renowned for speed in the way Aubameyang has and that. But his movement within the box and his positioning in the box is second to none. And I think that is demonstrated by both of his goals this season. Yeah, none of them were from outside the box into the top corner. But it was a scrappy, both goals against Bournemouth this season, both Billy Sharp's goals, the ball's been bouncing around the box, you know, no man's land, anyone's guessing who it's going to hit next. And both times he was there waiting with a composed finish to get it into the net. And they are the strikers you want, you know. Sorry, what you say?
No, I was just going to say, you've absolutely taken the words out of my mouth there. I was sort of jumping to get in, because that's exactly what it was, both of those goals. Billy Sharp was the player out of all of those players in the penalty box who saw that possibility, wasn't it? Who was aware, who was sort of ready to pounce, you know. And that comes just from great instincts and experience, because, you know, as you said, you know, Billy's never been the quickest. I think those of us who remember him, you know, this is his third spell now at the football club, and by far and away his most successful. But, you know, even when he should have been used more than he was in his first spell at the club, and I think what he went to go on and do at Scunthorpe showed that he possibly should have been given a more of a chance than he was. But he's a very different player, isn't he, now, to the player that he was then. And that goes to show as well for me that he's a really intelligent and a really cute player as well, because he's obviously got the wherewithal to go away and sort of analyse his own game as well and look at how he can fit within, you know, within the group and bring the best that he can to the team. And that's the other thing for me is, you know, those strikers that you went through there, the really nice thing for me is that all of them, they've all got the strengths, they've all got the weaknesses. You know, listen, you can say that about the strikers at Real Madrid, at Juventus, at Inter Milan. But I tell you what, the nice thing is as well, is they all bring something different to the table, don't they?
They do indeed. James, I'm afraid we're going to have to cut it off there. I could have talked about this, to be fair, all night. I really wanted to push you on the handbags between Wilder and Sermon, but perhaps we'll have to leave that for next time. I'm sure there might well be another occasion. This has been the Sheffield United Fan Show, joined as ever by James Shield from the Sheffield Express and Star. Great listening to James's inside stories and great hearing the opinions of the Travelling Blade too. We'll be back next week, 9 p.m. on Love Sport, Sheffield United Fan Show. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.